Time now for the Yahoo Sports College Podcast with Dan Wetzel.
LSU is the most morally bankrupt place in college athletics, and Kansas fans say we never say anything nice about them.
Pete Campbell.
Longtime AD at New Mexico State, friend of the pod. Anyone who volunteers to give us booze is pretty much a friend of the pod.
Send it to my hotel in Japan.
And SI's Pat 40.
It's like, Lowell's our Super Bowl, so we're just going to play three cadavers other than that. Monroe, Chattanooga, New Mexico State. Way to go.
Here's Pat, Pete, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod. And the pod's going to have a new name soon. Officially, we're the Yahoo Sports College Podcast. As of now, that was a creative name. When they first came up with the name, we've had a number of names for the show. We're going to get a new one. We're not telling you what it is. But when we came up with this name, I made fun of it on the air, and I think I almost got fired.
Yes.
I said
Yahoo
whoever
Sports
came up with the name
College
was,
Podcast.
They were hung over at the meeting and someone forgot to come up with a name. But anyway, now that one's gone. So we're getting a new one. Big excitement next week. Still
big
fine.
Excitement.
Same feed, everything else will be the same.
Yeah, same bad jokes.
Same bad jokes.
Yes. You have to fly to another continent. Everyone's so excited that the debut will come from another continent. So
that's right. Yeah.
So hold your suggestions. It's all done.
The celebrity crush has gotten so big that we all kind of have to disperse.
All right. We're going to do SEC Media Days. Prepping for that. Let's begin early next week. Pat and I are going to be flying to Tokyo. So we're going to get this in now. Anyway, we're going to preview Media Days. We did Big 12 last podcast, but we did have one item we wanted to get to. That came up since we did it, that is a big issue for us. So we've been on this for a while. Big 12 officials, direct coordinator official Greg Burks of the Big 12 said that if you do a horns down sign at a Texas player as an opponent, that's probably going to be a foul. You would get an unsportsmanlike conduct flag if you do it to a Texas player. But if you turn and do it to the crowd, it probably would not be a penalty. Please all of you note, I said probably, Burks added. We have to consider intent and consider the situation. We'll leave it to the officials.
How about if we just leave it to nothing and not do anything and let people do what they want as far as their precious hand signals in the precious Big 12?
Snowflakes fall in Austin.
Is he the meter maid or the chief meter maid of Big 12 officiating?
Horns down is sacred.
Oh.
I mean, what is this? Come on.
Woo. They actually had a meeting about this. Think about that. The horns down meeting.
Yeah.
But we'll call together. Time to talk about horns down, you know?
Sully and I were talking before we started here where my theory is that the sensitivity of the fan base escalates as the victory totals decrease.
Mm.
So you become much more sensitive and concerned about how people are treating your team with consummate respect and sensitivity when you stink. When you're good, you don't care. First of all, you don't give anybody any reason to horns down you if you're 11-1. But if you're 7-3 or whatever the heck they tend to be, then, geez, then you have to take umbrage at a lot of people that are beating your ass.
Yeah, I don't think Colt McCoy lost a lot of sleep over horns down. Vince
Young, I don't think he did.
Probably not a lot of sleep lost over horns down.
Yeah, this is pathetic.
Yep.
Just absolutely pathetic. I mean, just toughen up. First off, the more they do this and their initial complaints about the sacred bit of horns down, can't do horns down, only horns up, only inspires more, right?
Well,
it's
sure,
like the kid getting bullied. You know, like just sometimes you gotta take it. This isn't hard bully. If you know, this is awful. This is an embarrassment to Texas. A Texas fan should be ashamed.
They should.
I promise you, we discuss this every year because you discuss it every year, Burke said. I hope in the future someone else's symbol will come into play and not just the horns. You could do other symbols. Nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly.
The TCU's got that little thing with their hand. Do it upside down. Like it's like a dead horned frog with his legs kicking or something. I don't think Gary Patterson will give him. He'll no more wear collared shirt. Then he'd be like, "We got our ass kicked. Come on, Texas. You're supposed to be Texas."
Yeah, you don't hear Texas Pitiful. Tech complaining about guns down, right?
Guns
down.
The SEC has flagged for the gator chomp, I will say, in the past. So the SEC is not blameless in this silly sign war.
I'm for unsportsmanlike behavior.
Yeah.
Yes, we're less. Playing a game.
If you are bad, be less bad, and you will not get taunted. Yeah,
that's right.
Taunt away, taunt away. But I do like how there's no... The feelings of the Texas players matter, but the fans, nope. You sit there and horn down the whole booster program.
That's right.
They wasted their billions building that football program that can't do it, get out of its own way.
And actually, the feelings of the Texas players only matter when it comes to horns down. They don't matter when it comes to, say, Eyes of Texas. But that's a whole other issue.
That's good. Good point. Wait, players can't be listening to the players.
That's right.
Bunch of snowflakes on that one. All right. Well, I don't know. That's it for Texas. One other bit of non-SEC news. Sorry, there is a league outside the SEC. Nebraska has a new AD. Trev Alberts, who appears on ESPN and had been the Nebraska Omaha AD since 2011.
He hasn't been on ESPN in like 10 years, Dan.
Yeah.
He hasn't been on at all?
I don't think so.
Not even doing a bang up job. I don't know. I swear I saw him. Anyway, Trev's out. He's now the Nebraska AD. It's kind of a sign of, I've always wondered why these analysts, like some of the TV guys, make so much money. And it's like, nobody knows which one's which.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. All right. Anyway, what does this mean for Scott Frost, fellow former Cornhusker? Pete?
Trev Alberts certainly isn't going there for the status quo of winning 35% of your game. The one positive I was told that Trev Alberts can really bring is funneling in money from Omaha, which obviously is the nearest big city to Lincoln, and that he can really galvanize some of the old guard and help raise money, which he'll need to do because, as we discussed on the last pod, it would cost somewhere around $25 million to fire Scott Frost. And if Scott Frost continues to win at a 35% rate or half of the rate that Bo Pelini won at, he will likely get fired. And so it would be... Nebraska is on the clock for being the most expensive buyout in the history of college football. Move aside, Ooh. Gus Bus. Get out of the way, Charlie Weiss. They're going right to the top of the charts.
If he gets bought out. What is this make or break this year for him, do you think, Pete?
I mean, obviously last year was a goofy COVID year. He went 3-5. He's 4-8, 5-7. Look, if he does not make a bowl game, In the reasonable modern paradigms of how coaches are judged, and this is supposed to be his best team, and they're old, they've got some good corners, there's some things to like. Adrian Martinez has been around a long time. He's obviously been inconsistent, but he's 12-20, and so if you have a fourth consecutive losing season, I would think it would be pretty reasonable to conclude that you're probably not fit for that job. Now, again, how does it look, right? Is it 5-7 and you lose two nail biters and you play, a couple of those teams in the West right to the end? Is it that kind of, Mike Riley only got three seasons. Bo Pelini won 9-9, 10-9, 10-9.
He was good.
Yeah.
Solich. Yeah. Frank Solich, who retired this week.
Yeah.
He was good. Yeah.
Even Bill Callahan had two winning seasons in his four, and he's remembered as just like an utter disaster. If Scott Frost had been a quarterback at Montana State, he probably would have been run by now. He certainly would not have been given the most ill-advised contract extension in recent college football history. That was just like a local, local boy done good pat on the back situation. Just completely unwarranted. And in an era of unwarranted extensions, that one even stands out for just its frivolousness.
I like how COVID season, it's a little quirky. You know, you can't really count that one. All the bad coaches have that. Like Nick Saban went 13-0 with COVID.
With like, playing an all-SEC schedule. Yeah, right. You know, not Ohio playing State the Louisiana Monroe Chattanooga. Yeah.
Clemson did fine. A lot of really good programs and coaches, man, had to do fine with it. It's crazy. It's COVID. Can't really count the season. It's not like, I don't know what, you know, Middle Tennessee popped up. They cracked the code on COVID and somehow won the national title.
Go ahead, Ben. So let's just say this about Nebraska. They need to open 3-0. They open at Illinois, which you should always win if you're the coach in Nebraska. They have Fordham at home, which we could do an entire podcast making fun of the ridiculousness of. You couldn't find another FCS school that's not 1,500 miles away. and then they have Buffalo, insert joke here, right? But the Bulls minus six starters who left for Kansas are coming in. So you got to start 3-0 because then you go to Oklahoma and you're going to lose by half 100. And then Michigan State. If you're 3-1 at that point, Michigan State on the road is a coin flip game. There's a lot of questions there. So, but then there's this gauntlet of Northwestern at home, even though they've lost a ton, they're much better. Michigan, even though they're down, they're much better. At Minnesota, I mean, Minnesota beat them with like Dan starting at slot receiver at the end of last year. And then the Purdue, Ohio State comes to Lincoln. That's the kind of game where somebody hangs 70 and it's good night, Irene. And then they close at Wisconsin, Iowa at home. I mean, they could lose 100-0, like combined in those last three games.
I'm guessing that little monologue will not be played on the marketing departments. Get your tickets early.
It will be played on the radio in Omaha just to get people pissed off at us.
Man, bleak. That was bleak. All right. Well, yeah.
Here's my thinking. my thinking on Scott Frost and Nebraska.
I think the neighborhood rivalry with Fordham is good.
My thinking on Scott Frost and Nebraska is that obviously his leash has been elongated by the fact that he's Scott Frost at Nebraska from the Osborne glory days, but now you're bringing back an AD who was from the Osborne glory days too. I don't think they overlapped, but they were both there in the 90s. And so is Trev Alberts going to come in and say, hey, yeah, we're both from the brotherhood, but you got to get out. Maybe he is. Maybe that's, I think Trev Alberts certainly has the ego to come in and think I'm going to fix this. But I also think there would be, for a program that seems to be trying even harder to circle its nostalgic wagons here, it would be interesting for Trev Alberts to come in and kneecap Scott Frost.
Well, we will see. Battle of the alums. We'll see if they're on the same page. Also, we'll get more to whenever we do our Big Ten one, which will be good. I'm looking forward to Pat and I taking breaks during the Olympics to scream about college football.
Kneecap as a verb.
Yeah, we're going to get after it. All right, SEC Media Day. Let's start with this little bit of what we do. What is your question you would like to have answered? If you could ask one question of anybody at SEC Media Day or address one topic, what are you hoping to come out of this? Pat, we can start with you.
Ed Orgeron, what the hell has happened? That's my question. You go from 15-0 to a very shaky 5-5 and a caca storm of an offseason, most recently in which they fired their offensive line coach in June. You've got people transferring. You've got off-the-field issues left, right, and up the middle. Can you get it back together? I will say this. I don't think LSU cares about any of the off-the-field stuff if they do get it back together, because that's kind of been LSU's track record. And I talked to an athletic guy in college athletics who is an alum of LSU, and he said it's the most morally bankrupt place in America. And he's an alum. So the LSU's got some splaining to do, but mostly they got some winning to do if you're at Orgeron.
LSU is the most morally bankrupt place in college athletics, and Kansas fans say we never say anything nice about them. All right, well, so let's address this then. Orgeron, 5-5 last year. Again, can't count it. COVID. COVID, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. There you go.
COVID.
The Pelini plague occurred too. Don't forget the Pelini plague.
Pelini plague, all sorts of problems off the field, on the field, in the locker room, you name it. Bad season. Orgeron, you know, the thing about Coach O is he can surprise you. You count him out, and there he is. Huge game at UCLA.
Yes.
Open. Huge game.
Sully, are you going to go?
I'll be there the week before. Week zero, Hawaii. Yeah.
Okay. You're a week zero kind of guy, Sully. That's what like about you. Oh, yeah.
Sully not going. Okay. All right.
I'd rather stay at home and watch the whole nation, you know.
Right. Well, that's true. That's true. Huge game at UCLA, McNeese State, Central, and then you get into the little bit of the gauntlet crossover game. They got, obviously, the Florida game always, and then you're at Kentucky. Thoughts? Could Coach O turn it around? Pete, winning is all that matters at LSU. We know that. So he better win. How many has he got to win before they really are restless?
Well, we can give Pat credit because he thought Coach O would be Gene Chizik in like week two last year. Was that about when he?
I was chizzicking him.
I think
early.
We did fire him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, he did get fired. I mean, look, I don't think it's out of the question to say that if LSU face plants this year and the offseason issues, which are significant, and Orgeron is not directly involved with many of them because a lot of the, especially Les Miles stuff, predates him. But there are some things that happened under Orgeron's purview. And so if LSU completely face plants this year on the field, and there is a pathway to that, you have a bunch of new coaches where, you know, when they win the title, they have Dave Aranda as the defensive coordinator and they have Joe Brady as the OC. And quite frankly, they have Joe Burrow, who is really the key to unlocking everything there. And you've got Jake Peets as the OC, who has really never called plays before. They went to the Minnesota Vikings and hired Durante Jones, who is an NFL defensive back coach. He's well-regarded in the league. I talked to people at the Vikings. They really liked him. It was a big loss for them. But he has not called a college defense ever, and he did not call the defense for the Vikings. So there's an adjustment, obviously, from the NFL to college. And you don't think Chip Kelly's licking his chops right now, knowing that there's a you know, new defensive staff there. And I think the safest prediction for week zero, Sully, is that the UCLA game plan is going to be sponsored by Breyers, because it is going to be the most vanilla thing you've ever seen in week zero, because they're going to pull out all the formational stops and all the goofy fun chip stuff for LSU to try to catch them napping in week one at the Rose Bowl. So let's put this way. The year LSU won the national title, there were agents and people in the industry saying, like, Ed Orgeron could be fired. Like, people have been waiting for Ed Orgeron to implode his entire tenure at LSU. He obviously won as big and as glorious as you could possibly win in college football. That was one of that was a transcendent team that he had there. The genius of Nick Saban, as we've seen, is his ability to do this again and again and again with completely different staff. The biggest indictment of Orgeron was that his staff hires have just been completely scattershot. And he's proving as a CEO to not be as drilled, as dialed in and drilled down as somebody like Nick Saban. If you are atop the SEC, the only constant is going to be changed. And they were ill-prepared for a lot of that change in the wake of the title. And this year is his do-over. And if it's obvious failures again. Now, look, they returned something like 18 starters. They have a ton of talent in that program. There is no excuse to not win 9 games. But if there is some, you know, if that Troy game, like we saw earlier in Orgeron's tenure, pops up, it could get ugly in Baton Rouge. And remember, Scott Woodward did not hire Ed Orgeron. He did hire Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. $75 million contract. You know what it would cost Jimbo Fisher to leave Texas A&M?
Nothing.
Less than Dan pays for his classes.
You saying Jimbo could head over to LSU?
I'm saying if LSU's like 3-5, that's going to be the din that's the backdrop of that season. I mean, who are you going to hire, right? Here's the thing about Scott Woodward. He hires big names. That's what he does. He hired the women's basketball coach from Baylor, Kim Mulkey, who had won a bunch of the national titles.
LSU. Huge, huge hire. Yes.
He is not looking for like the up and coming buzzy coordinator. He wants big names. That is who he is. That is what his track record is crystal clear on. So it would be very, very interesting to see. Yes. Yeah. We're going straight conspiracy theory.
So like by that point, Urban Meyer is like 2-9 in the NFL and all of a sudden comes out and says, I've always dreamed of coaching LSU and only LSU.
Yeah. Urban Meyer ain't going LSU. I know that.
My mom used to make gumbo back in Ohio.
We were a big Mardi Gras family.
Didn't I tell you guys I only cared about this school? I don't know. All right. Well, let's do the over-under. We're going to do every school's over-under win later, but we'll do LSU right now so it won't repeat this. The over-under BetMGM is 8 wins. Here's the schedule. You got that UCLA game, McNeese State, Central Michigan at Mississippi State, Auburn at Kentucky, Florida at Ole Miss, at Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana Monroe, Texas A&M. 8. From basic look, you guys can disagree or not. I got 6 obvious wins: McNeese Central, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and Monroe. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe not.
Giving them Ole Miss. Yeah, I wouldn't give them Ole Miss.
So you got 5 wins.
I'd give them Auburn at home before I give them Ole Miss.
All right. I have Ole Miss, UCLA, Auburn, Kentucky, and Florida as maybes, and then I got Alabama and A&M as buckle up. I don't know if A&M deserves that. So,
that's a tough number. It is. My inclination is under or push. Because I just think that SEC West, you're going to lose at least one that you're not thinking you're going to lose. At Kentucky, at Mississippi, there also, as Pete alluded to, Mississippi, you know, that's a really trendy team for a lot of people. And then I think it could really it could all be decided at the start with at UCLA, you know. Well, that on paper, LSU should beat UCLA, but if UCLA is continuing to make the progress that Pete says they are, and they can actually start a season well for once under Chip Kelly, then that could go the other way and could tip the balance there.
UCLA is better. Like they couldn't be much worse, right? But they're better. I'm on the UCLA bandwagon. Dorian Thompson-Robinson's one of the better quarterbacks in the country. They have a veteran offensive line. They're finally decent up front.
All right. It's SEC. We'll get to your UCLA.
Let's just say this: if they do lose at UCLA and then they go and they hammer McNeese in Central Michigan, the pucker power in Starkville on September 25th would be quite a scene.
Oh, yeah,
because that is a difficult place to play. Obviously, Mississippi State smoked them in Baton Rouge last year, right? Just straight smoked them. You got an NFL coordinator trying to stop an air raid system. And Mississippi State, we can get to them. They're actually much better on defense. They're very good on defense, actually. So it would be pretty fascinating to see, right that moment there. Because it's never easy to play in Starkville. And that's like that is the biggest day of the year when the Tigers come to town.
Man, I think LSU is going to be better. I really do. But 8. And man, the mighty have fallen. There's a lot of games that are scary in here, but I like LSU on the field. I think they'll probably beat UCLA, unless it's a total dysfunctional mess. It's that at Kentucky, Florida, at Ole Miss, Alabama, and then Arkansas waiting for you right after.
Mm-hmm.
You love Arkansas, no week. Dan.
I like anybody after Alabama beats the hell out of you.
Yeah.
And there's no easing up in that game. Like LSU comes to Tuscaloosa, it's full barrel all the time. There's probably not a school that Nick Saban wants to beat more than LSU, considering the rivalry, his personal history, and the recruiting implications, and how many great players Alabama gets head-to-head out of South Louisiana, or any part of Louisiana, against LSU. So I think I'd take the under, but man, I, I can't fathom a team with this much talent being 7-5. But here you go. I mean, they still won 5 last year.
They did.
Yeah.
Thrown
they beat
cleat
Florida
in the swamp.
In the shoe game. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Thrown cleat in the swamp, baby.
God, I love this sport. Like, just such preposterousness. And I want to like, say LSU had kind of a COVID watered down roster in that game. Does that ring a bell, Pat?
I think so. They did. I think they did.
Besides the fact Ja'Marr Chase wouldn't even play. I mean, the beauty of LSU is like, do you have like, well, is that the shoe game or the pacemaker game? You know, or is that the coach that talks with like a marble in his mouth, or is that the guy who ate grass?
Was that the game where the NFL wide receiver was giving out money on the field? Or
the pacemaker punch.
We coming.
We coming. All right. It's LSU. Never boring.
Never
boring. So that was Pat's question. Pete, what is your question going in? What is the one thing you want answered out of SEC Media Days?
The one thing I want answered is this, and I am actually going to SEC Media Days. You gentlemen will be proud. You are going to a foreign country, and I am going to a foreign country. I've never been to SEC Media Days.
Yeah.
There
you go.
We've talked about it on the pod before. So this is what
good times.
Lane Kiffin has lost all of his chins and has like dropped a ton of weight. And he's a svelte gentleman right now. I've never seen Lane Kiffin in as good a physical shape as he is right now since he was at USC, basically as an assistant. So I want to know the secrets to Lane's new beach bod. I mean, he looks like a totally different human. I don't know if you've seen a picture of him lately. So I could have given you some like football lease about Georgia and can they like win the title or whatever. But yeah, I'm genuinely curious about Lane Kiffin's new keto excursion or whatever he's doing.
Okay, you're playing my song now. What is that? all right. I want to know, is Georgia going to screw it up again? I'll go football.
It's a good question. This is legit question.
They got the best team in the country. They got a ton of talent. I ain't saying Alabama's not going to be good, but they got a new QB, new wideouts, new run. I mean, there's a crack there. There's a little wobble in the wheel. You got a chance. Georgia, can you win it, Kirby? Starting right off the gun, Clemson, huge game. There you go from there. Does Kirby Smart have enough to win it? I know it's a tough. Or Georgia. I mean, they haven't won it since 1980. That's a long time. That's not really college football back then, barely. I mean, they were playing football at college, but like the system of how you win is not the same. Georgia Tech's won it more recently.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia, like, I'm not saying now or never, but like, what the heck?
Think about this Georgia wise, Dan. I'm looking at Phil Steele's preseason SEC team. The third team all SEC quarterback is Emory Jones of Florida, who has essentially never played. So there's legitimately like one thumper SEC quarterback, Matt Corral, who plays at a have not. That has a that we can get into them later, but their defense is not ideal. And then you have JT Daniels, who I think is good, but I don't think JT Daniels is some first round pick Heisman guy. I think JT Daniels has a lot to prove. He to me is like a high school 5-star that people haven't reevaluated off of his actual production. He's good, but I don't think he's anywhere near the caliber of the national championship winning quarterbacks we have seen in recent years, even though his star rating in high school recruiting ranking indicated that. JT Daniels has a lot more to show me. Remember, like, we make fun of Kirby Smart and he's made some ill-advised in-game decisions, but he saw Stetson Bennett, who's essentially like Sully playing quarterback, right? And he saw JT Daniels for weeks and he picked Stetson Bennett for weeks. So
was JT healthy though?
Yeah, I think that a healthy JT Daniels would have gotten on the field before then, sooner than November 21st, which is when he finally played for Georgia.
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett, the law firm of Stetson Bennett, is not an SEC quarterback. They were still tied with Alabama at half.
Yeah.
And they still only lost twice, and they blew almost everybody out. The only other close game the whole year, they lost to Florida. But they other than Mississippi State, everything is 2-3 scores. They got so much talent. I think JT Daniels is poised for a great year, even if he isn't the great player, because here you go.
I'm more bullish on JT than Pete is. I think he's very good. I mean, I think that he could end up being in the Heisman discussion. Now, I mean, he does have to prove it a little bit more. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, his numbers when he played last year were good. They were quite good, really. But the competition, okay, Mississippi State, South Carolina, Missouri. He was good against Cincinnati, and I think we all agree Cincinnati was good. I mean, he threw for 392 in that game. Only one great touchdown, secondary. But that's okay. Yeah. So without George Pickens, do they have enough at the receiver position? They certainly have enough at running back. They've got a really good offensive line again. Eric Gilbert comes in. The defense is always going to be good with Kirby and the way they've recruited. So the pieces are there. I think Dan's question is legitimate. It's like, how many times is Kirby going to screw it up before he finally gets it all right?
Scott, I mean, he's recruited so that he can screw it up. So you give him credit for that. But you got to win the big one at some point. The fact that Georgia hasn't won a national title since 1980 is fairly baffling. I mean, it's all there, especially of late as the north suburbs of Atlanta. I'm sorry. Have grown exponentially in population, and as this talent center is as good as anywhere in the country. Would you take Atlanta? It used to be, you know, South Florida or LA or Houston. I mean, Atlanta's right there with that, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, they're good.
No doubt.
No question. I mean,
no doubt.
The over under BetMGM is 10.5. They're playing Clemson up in Charlotte. The Duke's Mayo Classic.
Can something be a classic if it hasn't been played yet?
If it involves even my distaste of mayo, if I'm running something sponsored by mayonnaise, I'm immediately calling it a classic, even though I don't like mayo. UAB, South Carolina, at Vandy, Arkansas, at Auburn. That's what comes after that. Then you got Kentucky at home, cocktail party. Missouri at Tennessee, Charleston Southern, and at Georgia Tech.
Yeah. Sponsored by Puffs Plus.
Yeah. Give me the over, man.
If
Give
you ain't the number, I mean, 10.5, you can lose Clemson, and you're going to be a double-digit favorite. Florida, maybe he's a single digit?
Mm. Yeah.
Florida's going to be neutral down field. A little, I think. Yeah.
I agree.
Can you construct a easier schedule in the SEC than this?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can. It's
we missing? No.
The crossovers are Arkansas and Auburn, but you always play Auburn. And the non-conference schedule, I mean, by a lot of standards, SEC standards, good. I mean, it's Clemson, Georgia Tech is an ACC opponent. And UAB is a pretty good mid-major. You throw in your one FCS. And I will say that my one thing I actually like, I don't want to swerve too far here, but about the SEC this year, there's good non-conference games, you know? And if several of them out of the footprint, Auburn at Penn State, LSU at UCLA, Texas A&M's Colorado in Denver. And then you got Clemson
Arkansas,
on the schedule.
Texas.
Yeah, Arkansas, Texas, you know?
Yeah, not bad. No, I mean, the non-con's legit. You got two. You're adding Clemson. That's a game. I take the over.
I'm a little disappointed you didn't mention Missouri at Boston College.
Yeah, well, you know what? Out of the footprint, though. I like it.
Correct.
BC's getting a lot better.
I mean, all right. Whoever wins that game is going to feel very good about themselves.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. I have a BC, Phil Dracovic, their quarterback, who transferred from Notre Dame. There's a story on Yahoo Sports this week if you want to read about the NFL buzz on old Phil as he revived his career. So it was a good story. He's a nice kid. I went over there the other day. It was nice to, and I don't know if you've been able to do this much, Pat, go to a campus and interview a player, which I've done a few times in the last couple of weeks. It's a nice feeling. Like, we haven't done that.
Yeah.
Before. So
yeah. Sorry, we're going to the Olympics. We're not allowed to interview anybody.
Sorry. Yes. You just interview the drink cart woman. Now that would be a story after your flight to Tokyo. The exclusive with the drink cart woman. Or man, whoever it is. Whatever poor soul is pushing that thing up and down.
I can assure you, we don't care. It could be a robot. We don't, whatever comes, whatever delivers the drink cart.
Drone.
Especially if Pat and I rearrange our seats to sit next to each other. Which I am not committed to.
It's a long time.
Over under, Pat, Pete? I think Pat took the over. This is a season. If you're a Georgia fan, now Georgia fans are all skittish and scared. I get it. They're all like, don't hype us too much. But like, you should be legitimately fired up for the football season. You have a chance to win the national championship. And your home schedule is UAB, South Carolina, Arkansas, Kentucky, Missouri, Charleston, Southern.
Hey, but the hedges are your home. Nice.
You got one of the great stadiums in the country and one of the great teams. And yeah, that just didn't work out too well.
I'd rather cut the hedges than watch most of those games.
Yeah. Vandy, coach, new attitude.
There you go.
new jokes.
Haven't heard that one before.
Hey, they have got a top 25 recruiting class as of now. So,
well, that's good.
For 2021, not in time to save this year's team.
Right. I'm just saying.
Oh, Vandy Stanford. I didn't realize that that game was this year, Pat.
Yep. Stanford, 12 Power 5 opponents.
Yeah. Well, they got Vandy, K-State, and Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yep.
This is why Pat loves Phil Steele so much. In the Vandy schedule, they play Missouri October 30th. And Phil notes in small print, Missouri is coming off a bye.
That's right, man. Key information.
All right, they start with the East Tennessee State Buccaneers, intersectional, right?
Yep.
At Colorado State.
Yep.
And then Stanford visits Nashville. Then they got Georgia, UConn. New York Times defending 2020 national champions.
Randy Edsel gets a bonus every time you say that on the air.
Champs are in the house. If you do not recall this, because it's going to be a recurring joke all season. I'm just going to mention it. New York Times deemed UConn the 2020 national champions because they didn't play a game out of COVID considerations. They were rewarded for not playing and won the national championship for the New York Times, which for much of college football's existence would have been enough to actually claim your national champion.
Yeah, sure.
There's people like got the Biloxi Sun declared him a national champion in 1943. And they're counting it. All right. So look out for that one. Champs are in the house. Mm-hmm. At Florida, at South Carolina, Mississippi State, Missouri, Kentucky, at Ole Miss, and Tennessee. Can they win four games? They got 3.5 as the number. Pat, what do you think? I mean, how do you pick the UConn game? They haven't played in 2 years.
Yeah.
A lot of practice. 3.5
is the number. I'm going to say they do, by golly. I think new attitude, as you said, Vandy Clark Lee, he'll coach him up defensively. A lot of people like Ken Seals, the young quarterback who got the test under fire last year. They've got receivers back. I'm going to say that they can win 3 non-cons and they can eke out a con somewhere, whether it's at South Carolina, whether it's at Tennessee, whether it's home against Missouri or Kentucky. They'll win at least one there. I think they can get to 4.
I think they'll go over 4. And instead of breaking down Vandy's schedule, I'm just going to point out that, like, there's going to be some great low-level desperation games this year in the SEC East. Like, there's this new slog of programs trying to, like, establish themselves, and they're all pretty terrible. So, like, Vandy at South Carolina, Vandy at Tennessee, Tennessee, South Carolina. Like, just what a muddle of muck.
Jefferson Pilot Cup.
Yes. JPV up.
Let's make that a thing. We will reward the Jefferson Pilot Cup to whoever comes out of that full three-team parlay.
There you go. That three-team battle for 5-6-7 in the SEC East.
Yeah, it's like the bean pot in hockey in Boston, right? You win the bean pot. Northeastern's got a chance. They upset BU, and they can win the bean pot, even though they aren't that good.
By the way, none of our listeners know what the bean pot is.
Bean pot, yeah, it's a hockey...
Maybe we give the SEC muddle winner a pot of beans.
Yeah, we'll make a pot of beans to the winner. We'll send without it our bean pot. We'll order some Boston Market if they're in this, you know, send it over. Yeah, that is a slog. The West is much, much better. I think Clark Lee is a good coach. Comes in from Notre Dame. I think there'll be some competency. Man, were they bad last year?
No, they were bad.
I'll give them over. I think they win a. But I mean, Randy Etzel's had 2 years to practice.
Do you think they're cocky? The championship.
You know, it's ugly when you're like, I don't know if they can handle a road up at Canvas Stadium in Fort Collins. I'm going over. We can't talk this much about Vandy. Sorry.
Yeah.
Next. South Carolina, yeah, the bean pot, SEC bean pot. Four victories is the number for South Carolina. They start with, here's a game. Make sure you get your tickets. Eastern Illinois visits. Then they're at East Carolina. Oh, man. At Georgia, Kentucky, Troy, at Tennessee, Vandy, at Texas A&M. Florida at Missouri, Auburn, and then Clemson to end the season. Can they get four?
I want to bet the push. You know what? I'm going to give it to them, and here's why. What I'll say about the state of South Carolina right now, it is perfectly imperfect. I went through there this spring, and I have never heard this line from a rebuilding coach. He said, our best and deepest two positions are our offensive line and our defensive line. I can't tell you how many like times I've gone through places in the spring when there's been a coaching change and be like, oh, we have a 187-pound left guard who we just pulled out of a fraternity porch. And, you know, our three technique is a walk-on and he's six biscuits away from 260. They're like, no, we're really good in the offensive defensive line. They have a very good defensive line. So, like, I just think when you start talking about the SEC and you start talking about some of the baseline competency that comes with that, I really feel like South Carolina is going to be able to hang in and win a couple slogs. So I'm gonna stay optimistic on the Fighting Beamers. And you would think Shane Beamer, longtime special team coordinator, son of the greatest special teams coach in the history of college football, would be able to rejuvenate those units and maybe steal a win that way. Last year, Will Muschamp had the number 109th. Ranked special teams unit in college football. I think it's a pretty safe bet that the old Gamecocks will be a little better than that.
The number's four?
Four.
I'm going to have to take the under because I know this some wise-ass listener is going to like do the math and figure out that I'm taking the over on too many teams for it to be mathematically possible. So I'm taking the under with South Carolina here. It could be a push.
Optimist.
Yeah, could be a push.
The Will Hunting principle? You don't want to get banged out.
Yes, that somebody out there is pulling, you know, like writing all this down and coming back and saying, well, no, you took the over on 11 teams. That can't happen.
We should have been required to actually do this. It's like when Dick Vitale, before they really got into bracketology, he'd have like 80 teams in the bracket.
Yes, exactly.
He'd just say all his coaches were in.
I would definitely take the under on the amount of math classes the three of us took in college.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take the under here. Yeah. I think they win their non-con. I just don't think they get two of these games. Right. They'd have to sweep the bean pot. And at Tennessee is looming
there'll be
large.
No sweeps so. In our bean pot.
The bean pot's it's a gauntlet, man. You can't sweep that.
Pat doesn't even really know what the bean pot is, which is
I do. No, I followed the bean
what
pot.
What four colleges play in the bean pot, Pat?
BU, BC, Northeastern, and somebody else. Just Harvard. Harvard.
Just a little school named Harvard.
Community college in Cambridge.
It's a juke.
Across the river. Yeah, the Bean Pot is a hockey tournament. They play 2 weeks in a row in in Boston. I was once thrown out of the bean pot. You might be surprised to know.
Yeah, I'm stunned. Yeah. Yeah. I would take the over on that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll hear about that on the flight to Tokyo, I think.
Yeah. Me, you guys know Murph. Murph and I got, yeah, we snuck a bunch of beers in. We weren't old enough to drink.
Mm.
Our mistake was we were sitting in the Harvard section.
No, oh, yeah. You're going to get out of
there.
Rooting
for Boston College while chugging cans of beer. They threw us out the back door of the Boston Garden. We had to go down the fire escapes, and there was like a dog barking at us. This is great. Very traumatic. All right, fair. Haven't been back. Screw Harvard. All right, anyway, Tennessee, Sully, over under six. We'll go to Sully first.
Yeah.
I'll take the over. They got,
you take, I'm surprised.
Right? You're shocked. You're shocked.
Bowling Green, Pitt. And the Tennessee Tech all visit. They're in the East. I'll just say, let's see. Their crossover games are Ole Miss and Alabama, of course. South Alabama also visits. So you're taking over. All right. Pat, what do you think?
Ooh, it's close. Now, I'll ask Sully. Didn't all of Tennessee's good players transfer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's grim. But yeah. Bowling Green's one of the worst teams in the country. It's more about the schedule than what's left.
Yeah, right. You know. I think it all comes down to that Pittsburgh game, Sully. I think the Pitt game is the swing game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to swing. Yeah, I'm going to swing low, Sweet Chariot, and say under.
I'll go way under.
Yeah, I'm going under, too. I think Pitt is a tough game. I do think they win the beat pot, though, so.
I don't know.
Not great. Not great.
Sully, who's
going to
start
here.
A quarterback?
Oh, I'll give it to Harrison Bailey. But
he stinks.
Oof. He's not great. The best quarterback just transferred to Liberty. So got kicked off the team and enrolled in Liberty, I should say.
I'd like to just do a dramatic reading of our last little bit there. And this is why you listen to our podcast. He stinks. It's not good. I mean, where else get that kind of insight?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. All right,
he's a giraffe back there, and that's not they
a giraffe.
He is. They need a mobile quarterback.
Oh boy.
What about Joe Milton? Right? Isn't Joe Milton in there?
Oh yeah, and you got Hendon Hooker too.
And
I mean,
Hendon
just
Hooker?
Take everybody's just trash from around the country, and come on, everybody, come on, come down. Somebody's got to work.
Yeah.
Vols Recycle. You can start a name, image, and likeness program.
You know,
Sully, do you have any idea how fast a giraffe can run?
They're really fast, actually. They're really fast, but he looks like a stereotypical.
Googling.
Like, just, yeah. They're like 30 miles an hour.
Yeah, 40. Yeah, those things are huge and they can run. I'd call a guy a giraffe. Like he's
takes
slow.
Him a while to get going, though. You need
hard to bring down the giraffe. Hard to bring down. Get him in an open field. Only the lion can get you. Mississippi State, the pirate is back. Over under is also six. A lot of six, man. A lot of six going on for Mississippi State. They get La Tech, NC State visit. They play Memphis in Memphis. And let's see, who's their easy one late? Tennessee State. Tennessee State's cashing some checks this year. Crossovers are Vandy and Kentucky.
That's a very good crossover schedule, but I think the start is deceptively difficult. You know, Louisiana Tech's a solid program. They should win, but that's not a walkover, you know, 45-7, you know, play the third string in the middle of the third quarter game. NC State, legitimate, good. You know, I mean, what's Dave Dorn has done very well there. Memphis, legitimate, talent. You know, they got players. Then your LSU at Texas A&M, Alabama. I mean, theoretically, you could start 0-6. I don't think they will, but that's a tough beginning to that schedule. It is an article of faith that the Pirate will be better in year two. I'm going under. Give me five. They're going to win five.
I like that Pat at one point thought that the listeners would be upset that he was too optimistic.
I'm swinging back. This podcast for optimism.
Since that moment, under, he sucks. Screw that guy.
That was back. Pete who declared that the poor child sucked. It stinks.
And Sully who went, yeah, he's not good. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Misquoted.
Yeah.
Pete, over, under.
Definitely under. if they had a quarterback, I would like if they had a established returning quarterback. Will Rogers was mediocre plus for them, maybe it towards the end of last season, but I just haven't seen it. I do really like what they have in the secondary defensively. Emmanuel Forbes, one of the best corners in the country. He's a really talented young player. I think their 3-3-5 that they run defensively is goofy enough. Zach Arnett's defense, he was kind of one of the hot coordinators last year in the cycle. He didn't go anywhere. I think they're like tricky enough and hard enough to prep for where they'll steal one. But I also think that they're not far enough along in Leach's system where they're going to like pull the two upsets he may pull. So I agree. I think they lose to NC State. I think NC State will be favored in that game. NC State's pretty good. So I think it'll be another little learning curve year for the Pirate. And then we'll start to see the real results once there's an established quarterback and you get more skill in there in 2022.
To make any money, you got to go 7-5. I think that's a lot to ask. They can do it, but there's just too many teeter-totter games here. He said La Tech, NC State at Memphis, LSU, at A&M and Alabama. That start is brutal. It gets easier, but you still got Ole Miss late. Still got Kentucky. Yeah, you know, at Auburn could be doing pretty well by November. It's just too much. I would take the under. I just don't think they get to 7. All right. I think that's all. Oh, no. We have another 6-6 winner. Arkansas fighting Sam Pittman's. How about that? 6 wins. Bullish. BetMGM is bullish. They get Rice. They get Texas at home. They get Georgia Southern. Wow. UAPB. The Golden Lions of Pine Bluff show up in Little Rock. That's cool. Crossover games are Missouri always. And what else am I missing here?
Georgia at Georgia.
Georgia at Georgia. 6 wins.
I'm going to take the under. Breaking in a new quarterback. There is some skill in town. You got Hudson Henry at tight end. Trey Knox is an established commodity at receiver. I just think the sort of new coach bump that they received, the element surprise that helped them go 3-7 last year is gone. They should beat Rice, Georgia Southern, and Pine Bluff. I just I see Arkansas still being Arkansas in the SEC games. I do not think they will be favored in an SEC game. Maybe against Mississippi State at home. So I will let SEC gravity hold them down a little longer.
All right. They're going to lose all 4 of the road games, Georgia, Mississippi, LSU, Alabama. I think they lose to Texas. So that takes them down to 7-5 best case right there. That means you've got to beat A&M in Arlington. So no. So we're down to 6-6 best case. Can they do that? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. They lose to either Auburn or Missouri and end up 5-7. They do have my second favorite player name in the league, Bumper Pool, linebacker, who made 101 tackles last year. That's a linebacker name for Arkansas, Bumper Pool. So hats off to Bumper. Like Sam Pittman, but they're going 5-7.
Who is your number one name?
We'll get to him.
Oh,
I have a number one name. Is it the same name as do you have? That's what I want to know.
Maybe.
All right. Text your name to Sully, and I'll text mine. He won't tell anybody. All right. Okay. So we got a little contest there. See, this is how
we'll give you a bean pot if whoever wins.
This is how you keep the audience. This is why I'm so good at this job. All right. Fighting Eli. Shady Gators, step up. We see you. 7 wins for Mizzou. Central Michigan visits. Southern Missouri visits. Boston College. They go to Boston. What's the other one they got easy in here? North Texas.
North Texas.
Crossover games. Arkansas is always a crossover. And what else we got here? Oh, A&M. Can Mizzou win 7? We've picked under on everything. So some of these teams have to be able to beat somebody.
In fact, the rule book says somebody must win the game. We have no more ties.
It's not true.
Who's taking Missouri? Pat, you're an alum.
7. Oh, see, I want a half here, man. I want a half to make this a little bit easier. But I'm going to say over. I'm going to say they can go 8-4. I think Drinkwitz made some great progress there. Quarterback Bazelak is very good. Running back Beatty is good. They could use some depth there. Receivers, they got by with bad receivers last year. We'll see if those receivers improve. Offensive line returns almost intact. Defensively, they got some big holes to fill. They've got to get better in some of those areas. They were run over by a few teams. They were blitzed through the air by a few others. So they've got to get better there. But I think the building blocks are there. They bring in some good recruits. Missouri can go 8-4.
I hate to agree with Pat this much, because that's just whenever I do that in our picks, that just means I'm gonna go 1-4 that week. But I really think they can do that. I like what they've done at receiver in upgrading. Mookie Cooper was one of the better recruits from that area. He comes back from Ohio State, where there was a log jam in front of him. The immortal Kiki Chisholm. You can never go wrong with Kiki Chisholm, right? but I really feel like Ennis Rakestraw was one of the best freshman corners in the SEC last year. He's a kid from Dallas. They beat Alabama for in recruiting. It was a big win for them. And then they get the pair of shut down corners from Tulsa. We talked about those guys on the pod a bunch last year after Tulsa played Oklahoma State. And I really feel like their secondary got a huge late punch that's really going to help them in the league. So I think Missouri's got a little good mojo right now, and I feel like they can figure out 8-4.
I just realized my favorite Missouri player, Markel Utsi. Remember Markel Utsi in the Florida Brawl?
Yes. Oh, yes. He's your favorite. You want to give him the Heisman, I believe, last
year. Yeah, he's dropping haymakers out there like he's Dustin Poirier eating the hell out of Conor McGregor. He transferred to Arkansas.
How about that?
Wow.
He's going to be throwing more haymakers in that game at the end of the season than when Missouri plays at Arkansas.
Wow. That's interesting. I would have taken Arkansas over on that just because you lost Markel. Taking the under. I don't know what to make of Boston College, and that's the one that's causing me angst in that one. So don't bet Missouri. That's my advice. All right, Kentucky Wildcats 7. Man, there's really a lot of inspired seasons in here. See the happenings down at Kroger Field. Clean up aisle 6. Louisiana Monroe visits. Chattanooga visits. They got New Mexico State with their athletic department whiskey and tequila now. New Mexico State's that's a pod favorite.
Yeah, Mario has threatened to mail us some of that whiskey, and I failed to corral our addresses to give it to him. Mario Moshe, the longtime AD at New Mexico State, friend of the pod. Anyone who volunteers to give us booze is pretty much a friend of the pod.
Send it to my hotel in Japan.
Early in that third week, Dan hasn't had a drop of alcohol, and that fine New Mexico State whiskey shows up at the door.
Oh. I bet it's pretty good.
Yeah.
We'd
just start a whole New Mexico State pod at that point. You'd be so
underrated.
You'd be so
town
for them.
Yeah. underrated Las Cruces. All right. Kentucky crossovers are LSU and Mississippi State. What do you think? 7.
I feel like it's a push, so I'm going to take the under. They're breaking in Will Levis, the Penn State transfer. Looks like he's going to start at quarterback. I do like their defense. I feel like they're they've had annually excellent defenses under Mark Stoops. Mark Stoops has done a very solid job there. Wendell Robinson obviously gives them some pop. He transferred from Nebraska. He's a Kentucky native, correct, Pat?
Yes, Frankfort.
Yes, he ratchets up their offense a little bit. They have. They brought in an interesting OC, Liam Cohen, who had been with the Rams, I believe is a UMass grad, Dan. At least he was a UMass coach. Yeah.
He is. Okay. Quarterback.
Yeah. Old Liam Cohen. He's got some of that young and handsome magic. And quite frankly, the Kentucky offense, no one would mistake it for young or handsome in time in the past decade. So we'll see if he can sprinkle a little Brady pixie dust on the old Wildcats. But I'm going to remain skeptical. I'm going
to
take the under.
Number 7. Yeah, I'm going to take the under. It'll all go down to the last game against Louisville. They'll probably be 6-5 at that point. Kentucky continues to be admirably devoted to scheduling garbage in the non-conference. It's like, oh, Louisville's our Super Bowl, so we're just going to play three cadavers other than that. Monroe, Chattanooga, New Mexico State. Way to go.
Forget bean pots. We got to give the Flotsam and Jetsam winner of the SEC East the cadaver.
I mean, brutal.
The real exciting part for Kentucky fans is they're not in the bean pot.
They're not.
Like they we've elevated right? them. I mean, that's a sign of what Mark Stoops has done there.
That's right.
Is they're not even in that. I'm taking the over. I like Kentucky a little bit.
Yeah.
Not that much, but not a lot over.
Well, they've got like four or five dudes. I just don't know whether they have enough else, and I just don't know whether they have enough offensive firepower. So I'm going to say they're 6-5 and they lose to Louisville 6-6.
Yeah, well, okay. You already got to speak.
My turn. Sorry. I don't think I ever got to give an actual prediction. Sorry.
All right. Didn't you already? I thought you did.
I hijacked it by talking about cadavers. My fault.
All right. There you go. I'm just, once they started talking about whiskey, I just lost all focus. I'm taking Kentucky to win. Take them over. All right. Auburn, 7. 7 wins. New coach, new attitude. It's going to be my new thing. New strength coach. We finally learned how to lift.
Maybe that could be our new pod name, New Attitude. Maybe that could carry us through.
New
that
pod,
could carry
new
you
attitude.
Through your sober weeks in Japan.
I don't even want to know what the viewers are going to come up with. All right, exciting start to the Auburn season. Akron, Alabama State, Georgia State, but no, they go to Penn State. Fun game. Saturday night, September 18th on ABC. That's going to be good. Crossover games. Let's see. We got, it's like deciphering this out. They've got South Carolina and, of course, Georgia. I'm sorry. Georgia's always on there. 7. Pat? Brian Harsin, 7?
Yeah. I'm going to say, geez, that's probably right on, but I'll take the under just because I just don't know whether Bo Nix is fixable or elevatable. I think he is who he is. He tries hard, but I'm not sure he's a great quarterback. He runs around. He makes bad plays. He makes a few good plays. I'm not sure that gets a lot better. They've got wide receiver holes to fill. I think they're going to struggle to score, and they're going to be 6-6.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident about the under on this one. As confident as I do, of any of these. Obviously, Vegas is good at their job, so they're going to test us each time. But when you look at road games, Penn State at LSU, at Texas A&M, and then you got to go to Arkansas, which, is a coin flip game at that point. Auburn's 8-6 all time in Fayetteville. So I just really, I really think that there will be a learning curve for Brian Harsin as an SEC head coach. We will be, he has Derek Mason there as the DC, which I think will be helpful, but I don't see immediate and imminent results. I don't see like the new coach bump that I think Auburn was probably hoping for when they derailed the Gus bus.
I'm going to take the under also. The idea that, I look at it 6-6 too. The idea you got to win two more just to win this bet just doesn't. Where is the 8-4 at Penn State, Bama, at A&M and Georgia? There's four losses right there. So you can't lose another game. It means you're beating Ole Miss. You're beating at LSU. I just don't see it. I will take the under all the way on that. All right, we already did LSU, which is 8. Oh, Ole Miss is 7.5. Lane Kiffin and the crew is 7.5. They have got Louisville in Atlanta. Austin Peay. They get Tulane and they get Liberty. No easy task there in the Hugh Freeze return to Oxford game. I think we said he should have Lane should get the woman he was calling, the professional down in Tampa, to come show up at the game.
Yeah,
that would be good.
Uh-huh.
7.5. So can Ole Miss win 8? I don't know. I can't remember who goes first on this one. We'll go with Pat.
right. I'm going to say yes, even though, I mean, I still believe there's a lot of fool's gold with Lane Kiffin, obviously more bluster than substance. And the fact that Ole Miss hasn't won more than six games in a season since 2015 when Hugh was, quote unquote, dialing it up. I like their weapons. I like their, you know, their defense has got to be better, right? It cannot be worse than the one that gave up 38 points and 640 yards a game or whatever, 519 yards a game. So give me the Lane train to get to eight wins, to pull off a couple of pretty big, bold victories for the Rebels.
It'd be interesting. That Louisville game would be interesting, Pat, to open the season, because Louisville obviously took a big step back last year. Ole Miss had like the loudest 5-5 season, because no one can lose like Lane Kiffin, right? I mean, his best game of the year at Tennessee was they lost to Alabama, right? He's like the king of the loud loss, and just guaranteeing those loud losses turn into loud wins is not a sure thing, especially with the style they play. DJ Durkin is a very good defensive coordinator. They had a very bad defense last season. I do think with some new talent that side of the ball will be beefed up a little bit, but I don't think it will be elite. So I'm going to take the under. I'm going to stay skeptical on the Lane train.
Beware of beating Indiana in a bowl game and getting excited.
Well done, Sully. Well done.
I'm going over. Let's go to Florida at 9. Florida Gators, they have Florida Atlantic. They are at UCF. They play Florida State, of course, and they get Samford. Not Stanford. Samford is coming. 9 for the Gators. Crossover games are at LSU and Alabama. Is coming to Gainesville on September 18th.
Yep, Pat, and that's thoughts. That's a problem. I'm gonna take the under on Florida. I'm not sure. Like, I think they lose to Alabama. I think they lose to Georgia. I think there's two more losses out there for them. I do think they take a step back. I mean, Kyle Trask, Kyle Pitts, some of those guys they had, Kadarius Toney. I mean, they had weapons, and they've got other guys coming in. But I'm not sure that Dan Mullen has the recruiting up to the point where you're just plugging and playing immediately with the next bunch of guys. So I think the schedule's just tricky enough, and they go 8-4.
Yeah, I'm going to take the under as well. I just feel like
you guys hate the SEC.
What was that?
You hate the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
You guys, under.
We're getting to the point where it's the opposite of what Pat's saying, where there's too many people going under in this league that somebody's got to go over.
No one's going to win.
All the non-conference teams are going to win. You have to factor that in, Will Hunting. We're over time here, so I don't need to belabor the Florida schedule.
Tricky schedule. Yeah, 10's too much. There's two obvious losses. I just think they'll push. I think 9-3 is a real nice number for them. All right, next, we got a couple more. A&M is 9.5. Kent State visits. They're at Colorado. They get New Mexico, and they bring in Prairie View before the big LSU game, the Pacemaker Bowl. 9.5. Who wants to go first?
I'll take it.
Energy, people. Energy. You guys need to hold four fingers up in the air. Like, fourth quarter, we own it.
I'm holding four fingers up in the air because we got 4 minutes left till I got to get on this meeting. So,
all right, well, hurry
up. Texas A&M over 10-2. They need the quarterback to come through. Hayes King, freshman, they like him a lot. We'll see if he's good enough right away. They need an offensive line to coalesce, but they got everything else. They got skill, and they got their defensive guys back. And I think Jimbo can coach up the quarterback position. They'll lose to Alabama. They may drop another one at Mississippi, at LSU somewhere, but they're going 10-2.
DeMarvin Leal, the defensive end, is one of the most disruptive players in the SEC. I think this will be a big year for Mike Elko. The defense is going to have to carry A&M as the offense catches up. I do like Isaiah Spiller a lot. I think he'll be a bell cow until the offense finds some identity. But I'm going to take the over. I need to balance out the math at this point. My opinion doesn't even matter. I'm just trying to beat the math nerds. And I think this pod is actually designed to be listened to for your entire trip from Detroit to Tokyo, because that's where we're trying right now.
Plenty long, plenty long. I blame Mike Sly for adding too many damn teams. Alabama, 11.5. You're basically betting on a perfect season.
They get Miami in Atlanta, and then forget it. Mercer. Let's see. New Mexico State again. Boy, they're going to make a lot of whiskey. who else they got? Not oh, Southern Miss.
Southern Miss.
All right. Yeah. Exciting. Will the Tide go undefeated? Their crossovers are at Florida and Tennessee, of course.
There yes, you know,
forgot
of course.
About that.
Yep. You know what? I mean, you look at them on paper and you're like, okay, this is the year they take a minor step back. But I'm not betting against Alabama. I'm never taking the under with Alabama. Sorry, I'm taking the over. And I look at the schedule and I think it's doable. At A&M, obviously, is the toughest one. At Florida won't be easy. At Auburn is never easy, no matter what. But everything else, fine, no problem. Defense, this looks more like a classic Saban team, a little more defense-oriented until Bryce Young gets going at quarterback, and he will get going, and then they're going to roll.
All right, well, before Pat, you now have picked all your teams. Who is? What was your favorite name?
Oh, Kool-Aid McKinstry from Alabama, the cornerback.
All right.
Yeah, his name was like JaQuincy, but now they've just changed it on the roster to straight up Kool-Aid.
He's going
to
crush name, it in name, image, and likeness. He's going to run through the banner like, oh, yeah.
He should.
Not absolutely. The best name, though. Not the best name.
What is it?
Other side of the Iron Bowl. Smoke Monday.
Yeah, I like Smoke
Monday. It's still the best name in the SEC.
Yeah, you like Smoke basketball Monday, but assistant coach named Smoke, and I always thought Wetzel supplemented his salary. He was an AAU coach from Detroit, Smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I see, that's the, you, there are other people named Smoke. There is nobody else named Kool-Aid.
There's a head coach named Bruiser, too. So, I mean, UMass basketball. Smoke Monday is a phenomenal name. Yes,
it is.
If it was that's Smoke bad. Smith, it wouldn't be as good. I would give you that. But no, it's Smoke Monday.
Smoke Monday from Auburn can play. Yeah, you name your kid Smoke Monday, he's going to play at Auburn.
Kool-Aid McKinstry wins. That's my final word on this podcast. Right, I'm out. Plans. You got to finish this. You got to finish
see you
this
on the
up.
Airplane, Pat.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Over under
I'm
Alabama.
I'm taking the under.
Whoa.
Demanding perfection with the amount of losses they have, the tricky road games they have. You know, Nick Saban slipped up in the regular season. This is not a perfect team. It's an imperfect team. So I think Alabama loses. Headline news.
I don't know, man. I just don't I don't think they're that tricky, these games. At Florida and at A&M, yeah. I'd take the over. Maybe I'm just being ridiculous, though. At A&M and then at Mississippi State, that could be tricky. Nah, I'm sticking with the over. Going the over. 12-0 Bama, 12-0 Georgia. See you in Atlanta. Pretty good. I'd take that deal right now. And then both teams are going to get in the playoff. So the old SEC championship game wouldn't even matter. They probably have to replay each other, too. Yes. How about that? Let's say they're both 12-0. Bama's ranked 1. Georgia's ranked 2. And then the loser will drop to 4. And then have to play again. Kind of sucks we're stuck with 4 when they've announced this, practically announced this, this thing. Yeah. Kind of ready for the real playoff. Anyway, we will be back next week. We will tape. We're not sure. Pat and I have to fly to Asia, and we'll see if they let us in, how long it takes, how sober we are. We have a lot going on, but we will be back. We are not letting the Olympics get in way of the clearly the biggest sporting events of the days, which is the conference media days. Much more important than the Olympics. And I don't know. Got anything else, Pete?
I don't. I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up for media days next week. Can't wait to go see some coaches, see some players, see some old friends along the way. SIDs, reporters, conference officials, bartenders.
Season's almost here, kind of.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
Yeah. It's good to see people again.
This is the good part of the season.
It's good to see people
again.
I don't
want the season to get here, though, because it's like the end of summer. Like, if I didn't have football, the end of summer would be super depressing to me, but I don't want it to be here yet, so.
All right, that's fair. When do you get back?
I don't know, man.
Never.
I'm hoping they turn me away at the border like they should. All right. We'll be back with a new name next week. Get excited. New name. Talk to you then.